Once again, we have instruction on what does it mean to be a Christian. The first reading is amazing in a way. God says, I know your sins, and they're great and many. Now come to me, and we'll set this thing straight. If your sins be like scarlet, they can become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. The greatest good thing this land produces is the Eucharist. God is offering, forgiveness. Come, let's sit down and work this out. This is God. I'm amazed. How many times does our Lord say to us, he points out a sin to us, and he says, now, look, let's just work this out, You come to me, and I'll help you, and we'll work this out, and you'll get rid of this. I want you free of this. This is sin. This is darkness. This is death. Just come to me, and we'll work it out. That's awesome, isn't it? And that's the sort of thing we have, you see. Teaching us the mercy, the love. Now, the consequences of turning your back on that are awful, because it means you're without God forever. And that's serious. So then we have this gospel from Matthew. And Jesus is talking about the leaders of the Jewish people, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. Now the scribes are the theologians. Now you see, the greatest thing in a Jewish view of a man is how he can understand and transmit the practical norms. There's very little, even to this day, the Jews will say, we have no theology. We don't talk about God and who he is, and we talk about what you're supposed to do. Now, of course, they do both, but they really don't have a theology. But they have a very clear system of what you're supposed to do. One of the reasons for that is, you do what you're supposed to do, and you'll get to know God. So the scribes, the interpreters of the law, especially in our Lord's day, you see, so much has been taken from them because of sin, but never the relationship to God. They lost the land. They're living in an occupied territory. The significance of this land of Israel right now is that this is the first time for centuries and centuries and centuries that the Jews lived on their land and it belonged to them. It's still, they're not total masters of it for two reasons. One is all the people surrounding them who hate them and who use religion because it's a good tool, not because they have any belief or any love for God to try to kill them and drive them out. And then they're supported by countries like the U.S. So they're not all independent, but they have a land. And the role, you see, of the scribe, the writer, the sofer, it's been for so long now, we use the word, nothing we're going to do about it, But the word comes from sefer, is book in Hebrew, and sofer is somebody who knows the book. What does God want of us? And so the enactments got more and more full of minutiae to try to create, by legislation, a way of life, a culture that would preserve the knowledge of God. That's what the point was. But like everything else, we're so weak, it's not long before we mess it up, right? First place, we get it so technical. I mean, who in the world can ever keep it? And the other is, we twist its meaning. The meaning of law is to, you know, the result of law, according to St. Thomas, in a commonwealth, the religious law, or is friendship. The purpose of law is to foster friendship among people. That's what it's for. Look at our idea of law. So abstract, so, you know, it's the role of the law is to create a commonwealth, and the commonwealth of God, you see, is friendship, and all law is meant for that, to promote friendship among people. Well, these are a lot of minute practices, but what our Lord is going after, you know, is this using it to gain honor and recognition from each other. What a waste of time. And yet we do it. This is why this instruction, though we don't have a law, you know, the only law we really have is the Holy Spirit. The new law is the Holy Spirit. Saint John of the Cross, as you know, has this image. It's in his books. You know, it's a mountain, the Mount Carmel. And on the sides are the vices and the things, but right up the middle you go to the top of Mount Carmel, where you're in union with God, transforming union with God, which is the whole point of why we exist. And there he puts, here there is no law. Because now you can really hear the Holy Spirit and you'll just move with him, and that's all you want, no matter what that is. You want that. That's intimacy. At the other end, here we are at the bottom of the mountain, looking around for who's the big shot and who's the little shot, and all these silly things. They perform their works to be seen. They widen their phylacteries, lengthen their tassels. They love the places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues. Now, we found out that this is wrong, so we don't do it in the same overt way, you know, but we're still tricky about it. We want everybody to think we're pretty good. Why? Only God is going to judge us. You see, that's the scourge of human respect. Now, how do we get over human respect? Two ways. One, intimacy with God. When we know that God the Father loves us, we've got all the respect in the universe. Huh? And the other is to give honest love and care and affection to each other. And then we're not looking around for the false coin. If people know that they're loved by God, if people know how to love each other, then you're not looking for first places in the market, you know, in the banquets and greetings and all these titles. They're all substitutes for genuine love and genuine respect. But only those who are willing to die to self give genuine love and genuine respect. And so you see, the way to be free of this terrible problem is sanctity. There is any other way. To just know the love of God the Father and just want to please him with everything you do all day long. And look on one another with love and respect and mediate the love of the Lord to one another. And if we don't do that, what happens? We start looking around for a false coin. And it's kind of sad. Our Lord is telling us that's wrong. to look for all that honor from each other of that kind. Remember in John's gospel, he says, how can you people believe when you're looking for honor from one another? This wrong kind of honor, this sort of facade honor. Whereas if somebody is really loved by God and knows it, because we're all loved by God, lets the Lord prove it, he's free of a lot of this. See, the source of humility is confidence in God. That's the source. St. Teresa of Avila says, you know, humility is not thinking little of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself at all. Well, that's quite an accomplishment. But you meet people and you see that. They're really not thinking of themselves at all. I mean, they're aware they exist and they get hungry on it. But I mean, they're not trying to do all these things to get this false coin. They seek Jesus and intimacy with him because he is the living, eternal Son of God. And it's in that light that our Lord says these rather controversial things here now. Don't call anybody rabbi. You've got one teacher, and you're all brothers. You're all the same. Jesus says, I'm your teacher. I'm your rabbi. Call no one on earth your father, the one you look to for everything. You have one, the Father in heaven. Now this, of course, gets us into one of these big arguments. Oh, we're so dumb, aren't we? Protestants, oh, look at you Catholics, you call the priest father, you know. There's an insight there, huh? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you know, though you have many teachers, you only have one Father. I begot you by the gospel. So there is a way, you see, that the mystery of what God confers on priests, which is, the more you start to realize it, the more scared you get, you know, it means that, you know, when you're ordained, there's an ontological, in your being, a bond created between you and Christ. It's awesome. And that ought to be plenty. You see? So then he ends, the greatest among you should be your servant. And that's true. The greatest among us is Jesus Christ. And he is our servant. He feeds us on his body and blood every day. He forgives our sins. He took the whole weight of our sins as a servant onto the cross to free us. And therefore, the law. It's like the law of gravity. It's not a law like, you know, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Because when it's all over and he's exalting himself, he has nothing. But the one who humbles himself means the one who seeks to glorify God and to care about the brethren. And God will honor that one.